What's your favorite smell? Take a moment and imagine it. How does it make you feel? What are you reminded of? Our sense of smell is powerful in affecting our state of mind. It can bring back memories of things we've done and the places we've long since visited. Myself, I enjoy lavender quite a lot. When I'm coming home from a long, busy day, the scent helps make my room a calming sanctuary. For essential oils, though, having a nice scent isn't their only property. The practice of aromatherapy has been developing them for therapeutic applications for nearly a century. Welcome to the Take 5 for Your Health and Well-Being podcast. I'm your host, Jacques LaRouge. Sitting down with us today is Dr. Jan Tomaino. How are you doing today?
I'm great, thanks. Thanks for having me here.
Of course. To start, what is aromatherapy?
Aromatherapy is quite popular, as people know right now, and it is actually using essential oils for a therapeutic purpose, possibly for anxiety, something to make you feel good. My background is more clinical, so I think of it in those terms, but there are many things that we can use essential oils for.
Where did the practice come from?
Well, it's based on plant medicinal therapy that has been around since probably the beginning of time, but they have not always used essential oils. There's a process by which we get essential oils from plants, and there's a lot of information in the history of aromatherapy that it goes back possibly 5,000 years, but sometimes they may be talking about infused plants, which is a very different method. The history of using essential oils is actually probably 500 years old, where it's been more adapted to the times, and once there was a distiller that was invented for its use to obtain essential oils. And then in more modern times, in about the 1930s, the term aromatherapy was actually coined. And this was from a French perfume chemist. And the story goes, basically, he burned his arm. He had lavender in his lab, and he used lavender to apply to this burn. And there's some stories where he dipped his arm in lavender. But in reality, he did know that lavender had some healing qualities, but he was absolutely amazed at the healing process that took place. And he spent a good amount of the rest of his life studying aromatherapy.
So you touched on this a bit, but what are essential oils? How do we make them, and where do they come from?
They come from plants, and they come from a variety of different parts of the plants. So it's not just the flower, but it also comes from the whole plant itself, from the roots, from leaves, from pine needles, from seeds, rhizomes. So most part of the plants will produce, it just depends on the plant, where the essential oils are kind of secreted from. So they're hidden in these cells. So it really does depend. And not all plants produce essential oils.
Interesting. What training goes into becoming an aromatherapy practitioner? Can anyone just practice it at home and be qualified to do so, you think?
Well, anyone can use aromatherapy, use essential oils. To be a practitioner where you are actually going to recommend and possibly see clients or, you know, really elevate your practice, the minimum amount of training you need is 200 hours. And there are several courses available throughout the United States and actually throughout the world. And you just have to really look to see what they offer. But if you don't want to go to that level, you can practice aromatherapy. Look for really credible information, though. There's oftentimes little workshops in the community being offered. There's also, in the United States, there's two large organizations that promote safe use of essential oils. So there's NAHA, National Association of Holistic Aromatherapy, and it's naha.org. And the other one is the Alliance of International Aromatherapists. Their website is alliance-aromatherapist.org. And a lot of information can be found and resources on that site. So once you start looking for credible information, you might go down a rabbit hole. But it's much better starting with these places and looking and going down a rabbit hole versus going to websites that sell essential oils. Not that you can't get good information from them, because oftentimes you can, but when you're really looking for credible information, look at sources other than salespeople to begin with, at least.
So I have to share this story, much to my friend Shirin, but speaking of home practices, freshman year, I was taking a nap and my friend knew I had a headache, so she came into my room and put some peppermint oil on my temples. And unfortunately, since I was asleep and I didn't realize what had happened, I rubbed my temples and I rubbed my eyes immediately afterwards and woke up to the burning sensation in my bed. So can you speak more on what some safe practices are on how to use aromatherapy and essential oils correctly?
I'm sorry to laugh.
No, it's very funny.
Well, that highlights one of the issues of essential oils. They are so potent. So remember I said essential oils come from plants, and there's a few different ways that we get them, but primarily a distillation method or an extraction method that we use from to obtain citrus oils. However, they are so potent, it's not the same as using herbs. They're 75 to 100% more potent than the plant themselves. So What you got was a little bit of peppermint that was very, very strong. And typically recommendation is if you're going to apply them topically, they need to be highly diluted. Oftentimes it's a minimum of one drop per teaspoon of putting it into what we call a carrier oil. It can be something like as simple as olive oil, however I wouldn't like that smell, but almond oil, an unscented lotion, something like that. And when you think of that one drop in that amount, that can be very, very potent. So the safety aspect that you're talking about too is getting essential oils in your eyes. That little amount probably wouldn't have hurt you. It was a very, very small amount, but you felt it, right?
Oh, I felt it. I can still see, but it hurt for a while afterwards.
I bet. So if that were to happen to anyone, the recommendation is to rinse with water. The old recommendation was to rinse with whole milk because these essential oils are fatty. So they're considered fat-soluble. Oil and water don't mix. But it's really recommended that you flush with water. In a small amount like you got, your tears would take care of that.
Can you also speak on diffuser safety at all?
Yeah. So diffusing is typically electric, but doesn't have to be. So picture something that would sit on your table, possibly a little pot with water in it, and it's a plug-in, and you would put some drops of essential oil in that. And the newer ones that are out have kind of an ultrasonic effect. So they break up the little essential oils with the water, and then they spew it into the air. And it's indirect diffusion, so it's really not a bad thing. It's not going right into your face. It's being dispersed. These little essential oil molecules are light. They're what we call volatile, meaning that they rise rapidly, they disperse into the air rapidly, and we get the effects pretty readily from that. So Safety aspects aren't as prominent as when we put them on our skin, but it's still something to be cautious about. And one thing I always like to mention is we may like the smell of something. We may think an essential oil makes us feel great, but we can't determine that that is the same for every other person. And and that's why I don't agree with essential oil diffusers being used in public places. So there are some schools who may use them in a classroom. We don't know the effects that it may have on especially a small child. Sometimes they're used in hospital settings, and really you get much greater effects than diffusion by smelling the essential oil up close. So really there's not a real good reason for diffusing out to the whole public.
Now, despite it being named aromatherapy based around scent, I've also heard of another way that people ingest essential oils. What do you think about these practices?
Well, I don't want to say that it's a never-never, but it is cause for concern. Because aromatherapy has become so popular, and there is a lot of promotion by companies that promote ingesting of essential oils, and people who are selling some of these products will have their patrons, they'll guide them on ingesting, so putting drops in their water like peppermint or lemon or sometimes really more potent essential oils. And oil and water don't mix. So when we ingest, it has to be detoxified by our liver. So there are some essential oils that over time could be very harmful. You really need to be under the guidance of somebody who is very, very educated on it. And that doesn't mean a salesperson. It doesn't mean any old aromatherapist. It's not part of my practice, and I'm fairly educated in aromatherapy. It doesn't mean just because you're a doctor or a nurse, you are educated on it as well, because there are many safety aspects of it. The other thing I'd like to mention is if people are on medications and they are ingesting essential oils, our body gets rid of these things through a certain pathway. And if it's the same pathway that the medication is being used, you have the chance of either getting too much of your medication or too little of it. So something to really, really be aware of.
Switching gears, where do you see aromatherapy fitting into modern healthcare? And why should people seek aromatherapy treatment?
I love that aromatherapy can be included in the clinical setting. I've implemented aromatherapy in a couple hospital clinic settings, and they are very popular with the nurses, with the staff, with patients, and it is an adjunct, so an add-on, to symptom management. So if you're receiving medication for pain, possibly you might want to try inhaling a little lavender, which may help to relieve some of your pain. It's not that they're going to be the be-all, end-all. We don't want to think about it as in place of anything. We want to say that it's integrated with them. So in the hospital setting, oftentimes essential oils are used for symptoms such as pain, anxiety, nausea, fatigue, and sometimes appetite, to increase somebody's appetite. But those are the most common. So why should people seek treatment? I would say don't seek treatment as an alternative. Seek treatment as an addition to your overall health. There might be some very easy steps to take by using essential oils that can help you with sleep, that can help you relax, can help you with stress, anxiety. Students, great thing, use essential oils for stress reduction prior to exams. It's great.
And as a healthcare professional, can you speak on the research that's being done on the effects of aromatherapy?
There is a lot of research being done, not near as much as could be. So part of the problem is that essential oils aren't patented. So there's, you know, they're not a medication, and there's sometimes not funding available. But there have been many wonderful studies. Not all of them show significant results, but several of them do. when I was doing literature research for a project I did in 2010, compared to now, there are many, many more studies that are available. So what I'm seeing is for specific essential oils, lavender, bergamot, peppermint, a lot looking at pain, anxiety, nausea reduction. And sometimes it's really difficult to do randomized control studies depending on the setting. But even small studies are effective for us to look at. And if they can help even a little bit and supplement what we're using for medication, it's a good thing. They're not really that expensive.
All right. Thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us today. This podcast has been brought to you by the University of Minnesota's Earl E. Bakken Center for Spirituality and Healing. I've been your host, Jacques LaRouge, a student communications assistant here at the center. Dr. Tomeno teaches an online academic course here at the center. To learn more, go to z.umn.edu/csph5503. If you'd like more detailed information on aromatherapy, try the section on the Taking Charge website. You can find it at z.umn.edu/aromatherapy. And finally, the center also offers a clinical aromatherapy module under the Learning Modules for Healthcare Professionals section of the center's website. You can find these modules at z.umn.edu/aromatherapy module. Visit takingcharge.csh.umn.edu for more information on a variety of health and well-being topics. On Taking Charge, you can create goals, take short self-assessments, and explore many articles, tips, and videos from well-being experts.